Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how to pay no capital gains tax after selling your house for big bucks. One of the main reasons why I love real estate more than I love stocks is because of all the tax benefits. If you sell a home and you have up to $250,000 gain as a single person or up to $500,000 gain as a married couple, you pay no taxes, and the conditions are ownership, use, and timing. For ownership, you must have owned the home for at least 2 years during the 5 years prior to the date of your sale. It doesn't have to be continuous, nor does it have to be the 2 years immediately preceding the sale. Use, you have to have used the home you are selling as your principal residence for at least 2 years of the 5 years prior to the date of the sale. And then finally, timing, you have not excluded the gain on the sale of another home within 2 years prior to this sale. So in other words, you can exclude $250,000 to $500,000 in tax-free profits every 2 years on your principal residence if you're so lucky enough to have your property move up in value by that amount. But let's say you plan to sell a property in an expensive coastal city where your gains are much greater than $250,000 and $500,000. So first of all, when filing your taxes, you will likely get a 1099-S, which tells the IRS, because they get a copy too, the final sale price of the home plus any real estate taxes you may have paid. This is for homes that have a greater than $250,000 to $500,000 gain. If you haven't received a 1099-S, definitely call the title company and ask for one so that your records and the IRS's records match. You don't want to be inputting a different number. While you're at it, ask for the HUD-1 settlement statement or closing disclosure. It'll give you a detailed line-by-line item of what you spent and all the costs it cost to sell the property. And then also ask them, what are the records saying in terms of the date and the cost, the price of what you bought your home for? This is especially helpful for those of you who bought a while ago and you don't have the exact date on record. Now that you have these important statements, it's time to dig deep into your records to find out how much you spent on construction, renovation, improvements, and any special assessments you've paid for local improvements. All these expenses increase your cost basis, thereby decreasing your capital gains and your capital gains tax. The problem many long-term homeowners encounter is not keeping proper records of all their expenditures over the years. For example, I bought a house in 2005 and I did a lot of remodeling. I constructed two new bathrooms, I created a deck, I have a new roof, new HVAC unit, all this stuff. I have records, but they are not all in one place. So definitely take pictures and keep a spreadsheet that has the description of the work done, a date, the cost, the vendor, and their contact information. And another thing, some of these vendors go out of business during the time you own your home. You know, running a business is hard. Some don't last beyond 5 years. And if you own a home for 20 years, the chances are high that they might not ever return your phone call because poof, they're gone. So even if you don't plan to sell your house this year or next year or anytime soon, give them a call. Go through your records now because I promise you in 10 years, you're not going to really remember exactly how much you spent. The same thing goes for those of you who have home insurance. Hopefully that's all of you because it's required by law. But we saw through the fires of recent past that a lot of homeowners are still fighting with their home insurance companies for getting the full benefits of what they thought they were paying for. So the wording in home insurance land is kind of tricky. They might say, you are covered for up to $500,000 or up to $1 million. The up to is the key. That is the maximum benefit. And a lot of times you're getting covered up to that maximum benefit if you have proper inventory of things you own. So go around your house, take pictures of the most valuable things, take a video, create an inventory through a spreadsheet, because just in case a fire blazes down your home or something bad happens, you have this information that's stored up in the cloud. In the post I publish about this topic, I produce a chart that shows an example of a 1.8 million home being sold after originally being purchased for $800,000 15 years ago. Now, with a $1 million gross profit, this homeowner actually doesn't pay any federal and state capital gains tax. The chart is very detailed, so I'd love to go through the main highlights so you understand all these expenses that allow for this homeowner to sell tax-free. So cost to sell at $105,000 is ridiculous, but that's better than what they could have done because they negotiated the total commission cost down to 5% from 6%. So in this cost to sell, there's stuff like, of course, commissions, inspection costs, getting the 3R and NHD reports. You might have to stage the property to make it look good because home buyers don't have imaginations, water compliance, and transfer taxes. The transfer tax is the second thing that bums me out the most beyond the commissions. The transfer tax is arbitrary and I think quite onerous for homeowners who are looking to sell because it is based on a percentage of the selling price. So in New York City, the real estate transfer tax is 1% to 2.625% based on every dollar over $500,000, for example. So the higher your home, the higher the transfer tax. And this is, it just seems like a toll that is not being used for anything except to screw homeowners. And so if you think about the implications, if more homeowners realize there's this onerous transfer tax, more homeowners will simply decide not to sell. And if you don't sell, then you see the supply curve shift down and therefore prices go up. And then there's more housing crisis affordability issues. So hopefully the government realizes, hey, maybe if we make things easier to sell, if we make property less expensive to sell, there will be more people selling property, downsizing into smaller, more efficient homes, especially once they become empty nesters. I mean, why do you need a 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, 5-bedroom home if it's just you and your partner or just you? You should be living in a studio or a 1-bedroom or a 2-bedroom at max. So these are some law of unintended consequences that result from onerous taxation and high commissions, which I really hope continues to come down. The second large expense is construction, renovation, and home improvement costs of $373,000. That sounds like a lot, but once you look at the spreadsheet and the line items, this is basically a gut remodel job for, you know, constructing new bathrooms, new kitchen, new deck. I mean, this homeowner is living their best life in this house. They're living in a wonderfully remodeled house that they got to experience and enjoy life for 15 years. And that is the main point of owning a home. So you can own a home to do whatever you want with, to customize to your style so that you don't have to be, you know, at the whims of a landlord who doesn't bother to upgrade anything because it's not really cost beneficial to them. This is where having records of all your costs over the years is so important. So please, please, be detailed. And then the other line item is special assessments from the city. I put $5,000. Basically, it's used to pay for a water treatment plant overhaul and water sewage pipe replacements. That's pretty common. We just had that on my street a couple years ago where we had clay water main pipes, and that was changed to a different material because after 100 years, they were starting to break down. And the other line item in the spreadsheet is cost to purchase the home in 2003. Typically, home buyers will pay between 2% to 5% of the purchase price of their home and closing fees. And this homeowner decided to negotiate and pay 1% of the purchase price and closing fees. So just know that all these fees are negotiable up to a point. They're negotiable between you as the buyer paying for it or the seller paying for it, and they're negotiable with the other side, like the title company and so forth, but these guys actually are pretty steadfast in their fees they charge. So there are a lot of fees when you're purchasing or selling a home. There's like application fee, there's appraisal fee because you don't want to be buying something that is not deemed market value, especially if you're going to get a loan, right? So the banks don't want to lend you money if, you know, you're buying something way, way, way beyond what market price is. There's attorney fee if you require an attorney. I've never bought or sold a property with an attorney. There's closing fee or escrow fee, courier fee, credit report fee, flood determination fee, home inspection fee to see if there's any dry rot and all that, homeowner's insurance, lender's policy, title insurance, lead-based paint inspection, owner's policy, title, origination fee, pest inspection fee, prepaid interest, private mortgage, property tax recording fees, survey fees, and so forth. Man, there's so many fees, and no wonder why the real estate industry is so powerful in lobbying the government, because, man, if things get too streamlined, they're going to be losing a lot of money, and therefore they're going to be losing a lot of jobs. And it's really, really interesting to see that in 2018, these internet home real estate companies aren't doing a huge job in cutting fees and costs for consumers. And the reason why is because the real estate industry is their biggest customer, their biggest advertiser. So aha, you know how things work now. So without the $500,000 tax-free profit exclusion for married couples, the home seller would have to pay taxes on $499,000 in capital gains. At a 22% total effective tax rate, we're talking about $110,000 in taxes. Now, if the couple was in the top marginal income tax rate of 39.6%, their long-term capital gains tax would be 20% for federal and then 13% for state, or about $165,000 in taxes. But thanks to the tax-free profit exclusion and all the costs associated with the home, the tax liability is zero. So the net proceeds after tax is something really interesting to learn about. The seller walks away with $895,000 in net proceeds, which is fantastic considering the seller put down 20% or $160,000 in 2003. So think about it, $160,000 goes to $895,000, which is the bottom line. You got $895,000 more in the bank. Of course, the home improvement expenses cost them $373,000 over a 15-year time period, but there is tremendous value in that home improvement, one from lifestyle value for enjoying the home that you've customly remodeled, and also the payback when you come time to sell the home. So let's say we add the down payment of $160,000 to the home improvement costs of $373,000. Well, the home seller still comes away $362,000 richer while having lived in an awesome home all these years. Now compare a $362,000 gain with a $1,080,000 loss if you were to rent this house for $6,000 a month, which it would rent for, on average for 15 years. That's a $1.442 million swing, folks. That is huge in that time frame. 15 years, $1.442 million swing. Now you can see the wealth building power of home ownership over time. And hopefully, you can argue that the renter invested their cash flow wisely during this time frame, but we all know that nobody is that disciplined to save and invest the difference and just do that for 15 years. There's always a leakage. You know, you want to buy this car, you want to buy this, I don't know, stupid shirt, you want to go on a nice vacation. There's always leakage, but with home ownership, you have to pay down your mortgage and your principal every single month, and you're just holding it long-term, riding the inflation wave, hoping for the best. And generally, over a 15-year time frame, things work out very, very well. So you are earning in terms of market appreciation, and then you're paying down debt through your monthly mortgage payments. So that's a double win. One thing to think about if you're planning to sell your home in the near future and you know you will likely have a large capital gain is that you should try to earn as little to no money as possible via W-2 or 1099 miscellaneous freelance income. It's very important to think about this and plan ahead, because if you have massive capital gains, you're going to move up the tax bracket. Just know that there is this net investment income tax on every dollar above $250,000 for married couples and $200,000 for singles. That tax rate is 3.8%. So if you have a gain of, let's say, $100,000 as a single person and you have a total income of $300,000, you're paying another $3,800 in taxes, because that's $100,000 above the $200,000 threshold. So really try to earn as little money as possible during that house sale year. Try to work less or increase your business expenses that year, or push out any 1099 miscellaneous freelance income to the following year, or ask for your December paycheck to be paid in January. There are a lot of things you can do to pay less taxes. Now, obviously, you have much more flexibility as a business owner, so that's why I encourage everyone to start their own business, even if it's a small website with no traffic. You gotta start somewhere, but that's where you can actually start taking advantage of business expenses and shielding some of your income as you try to grow your empire. A couple final considerations you should think about is doing a 1031 exchange where you defer capital gains tax indefinitely. But this is only for rental property. The whole thing I've been talking about in this podcast is for a primary residence. So understanding the tax laws and keeping great records are what will save you a ton in capital gains tax when it comes time to sell. There's a lot of benefits for 1031 exchange, but there's also some downsides. It's like, hey, if you want to simplify your life and get out of managing rental property, then buying a new property to rent out is not going to simplify your life at all. Also, with a large financial windfall like this, you can utilize the proceeds to buy a nicer home in a lower cost area of the country or world. Geo-arbitrage is a no-brainer, which I think is going to continue as the world gets smaller thanks to technology. And if not, you can just reinvest the proceeds in completely passive investments and rent to keep things as simple as possible. I think it's wise to rent luxury and buy utility. So in other words, buy properties with high cash flow, high net rental yields, and rent property that trade for ridiculous multiples, because that means that you're getting a better value on your rent. Just remember that you can take advantage of the $250,000 to $500,000 tax-free profit rule every 2 years until the rule changes. So I hope everybody realizes through this podcast the power of home ownership. The government is on your side here, even though they have the owner's transfer taxes and ongoing property taxes. They do want Americans to own real estate and own their primary residence, at least over the long term, because it's been shown that inflation is simply too powerful of a force to reckon with. So if you're a renter, think about where you want to settle down. Think about where you want to be for the next 10 years, because shorting the real estate market by renting over a 10, 15, 20, 30 year time period is really not going to help boost your wealth over time. Thanks so much, everybody, and leave me a comment if you have any questions.